Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when you talk about trust without borders, you talk about a life lived unto God with wholeness and completeness and dedication. You can see the examples in so many men and women of God and the faith that they had in God to take them places that they weren't planning to go, to do things they weren't planning to do. And one of those men in the Bible that is spoken of is the Apostle Paul, who here was inspired to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning here in verse 9. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He was against the church. He was against Jesus. He was against those who were believers. Verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He might have been against God. He might have had a way against God and His church. He might have been persecuting. But by the grace of God, he says, "I am what I am." Now, each one of us, as we have been called by God to come to know and believe, to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are who we are. Our standing in God is holy and accepted in the Beloved, in the Most Holy One, is because of God's grace. We were sinners. We were enemies of the cross of Christ. And God called us by the grace that He has to come into a fellowship and a friendship with Almighty God, that we would have a relationship with Him. And the Apostle Paul says, "Here I am. I am what I am because of God's grace. And His grace toward me was not in vain." It was not in vain. Why not? "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." His grace was not in vain. God stopped Saul on the road. He blinded him and He set him down and He said, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking the hard way against the goats? Why are you doing this?" And He set Saul to be Paul on a different trail. He set him on a different path by His grace. But the grace that He showed to stop him, to collect him, wasn't in vain. But it had a purpose in mind, that Paul would begin to labor in the Lord. And not Paul, he says, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Friends, a few weeks ago, the last time I had the opportunity to speak, we were talking about the power of fasting and prayer. That there are those evil spirits and those things that we face in life that cannot be overcome except by prayer and fasting. And how vital and important. And I hope that in some way, if you were not giving yourself in time to fasting and prayer, that you have in the 3 weeks since. And if you haven't, that you look again today and just challenge your own heart. Why not? Why not? But this time of prayer and fasting is of such preparation to seek God. It is not the end. It is the preparation for the things that God has called us to do. When Saul was struck down, he was fasting. We read of Cornelius 3 weeks ago, who was fasting, and the Spirit of God came, one visited him, and told him that he needed to call for Peter. And Peter was on a rooftop, and he was having visions from God saying, "People are coming, you need to go." They were engaged in a ministry together by the grace of God. God's grace to Cornelius, God's grace to Peter, God's grace bringing people who had been called by the grace of God to do what God desired by His grace. Friends, this is the life you have been called to. It goes beyond an intellectualism. It goes beyond a practice to a devotion to Almighty God, to the things that He has called us to do by His grace. We also looked at the disciples who were gathered together in Acts chapter 13, and they were praying and fasting. And as they were praying and fasting, the Spirit spoke and said, "Separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I called them to do."
And they continued to fast and pray, to ask now that the grace by which they had been called to do a service, that the grace would carry them to do the very service God wanted them to do. Friends, the transformation in life is by the grace of God. It is the grace of God. It is His divine influence and His divine favor and presence causing you to be the person God made you to be and to do the things God called you to do. And without grace, how can we be who God wants us to be? And without His grace, how can we do the things He wants us to do? So prayer and fasting is an awesome way to draw near to God, to seek His favor. Turn with me now to Ezra, verse that we read last time, Ezra chapter 8. And notice here in Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, he said, "Then I proclaimed a fast." This is Ezra 8:21. "I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions." See, the heart and the spirit in fasting is to humble oneself before Almighty God to say, "What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to be?" Cornelius was doing it. God showed him. The disciples were doing it. He said, "Separate them, bless them, that they may go for the work." Where do you fit in? You see, we can spend a lot of time trying to figure things out on our own, and we can spend a lot of time and energy trying to sort through it with reason. But the wisdom and direction comes from heaven above by the Spirit of God to those who seek. Notice as we continue on, it says, "For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, 'The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek Him. But His power and His wrath are against all who forsake Him.' So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and He answered our prayer." That's a statement of faith, isn't it? That if someone, anyone, will look to God and seek Him, He says, "The hand of God is upon all those for good who seek Him." That's a promise. That's what God wanted breathed here. He wants you to know that His hand is for good when we seek Him. Fasting and prayer is saying, "God, take a hand in my life. Take a hand in the lives of those that I come across. Take a hand in this work that we're setting out to accomplish." Because we can agree that God's will is true. We can agree that God works. But when we engage in the work, we are dependent on His grace to do it. It's His empowering presence. It's His divine influence that's going to help you be the person you need to be and help the person you're ministering to be the person they need to be. And for you to do the work you should do, and for that person to do the work they've been called to do. You see, God did not give you His grace and bless you with His Spirit to take a seat on the sideline. He blessed you with His grace so that it wouldn't be in vain, but that you, having received it, will now be able to minister it to others. In every little way in your life, you have opportunities. And as we come and seek God's face, to ask from Him how to bring us to this place. See, fasting is saying no to self. It's saying no to our flesh. It's saying no to our most basic need, and yes to God, that we will seek You, God, for our good. That we will not run off for ourselves and forsake You, but we're going to look to You for the direction in our lives for this day. And this day is sufficient, friends. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So when the Lord tells you to get out there and work hard, get out there and work hard as unto the Lord. If He tells you to go out and wash windows or clean cars, if He tells you to clean up the bathroom, clean it hard. Do your work as unto the Lord. If He tells you to fast, to pray, fast and pray hard. Seek. Seek God. Devote yourself with wholeheartedness. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Because in the grave there is no thought. There is no device. There is no anything. This is it, friends. We are being given a time and a whisper of life here on this earth. And God is saying, Are we coming after Him? And everything in life changes because of Almighty God. The worship of God purifies our hearts. The seeking of God purifies our lives. And God just wants you so much in His care and in His provision. And so they sought from God, it says here in Ezra. They sought from God. They entreated God. And so he said, we humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That you can humble yourself before God with an expectation that God is going to show you what's best. So when we pray for my sister Maria, we're praying for her for what's best. We're asking for the kingdom of God to come into her life, the power of God to come upon her. Or for Eric Hartle, who we continue to pray for, that God's kingdom would come upon his life and in every way bring about the will of God for the purpose of God. Because we know this, I am what I am by the grace of God, and I do what I do by the grace of God. It is His favor that we seek. His favor. So I ask you today, are you pursuing the favor of God? Are you pursuing the favor of God in your life? Do you believe that God will bless you? That God's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save? Do you believe that God is looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him? You see, because at the crux of prayer and fasting, before you ever really get to that and really engage in a wholehearted time of fasting and prayer, there has to be a deep, resounding belief that God exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Ultimately, it comes down to an issue of faith, of trust. Do I believe that God cares? Do I believe that God hears? Do I believe God will do the right thing? Do I believe God will keep His word? Do I believe God is committed to His good will to the end in my life, in the life of the person I'm praying for? You see, because these questions will continue to gnaw and nag at us and create doubt if we don't answer them. And fasting and prayer and getting into God's Word will seem like exercises of discipline if they're not derived from a faith in who God is, in our relationship with Him and the grace that God gives. Friends, I know what it is to be in the flesh so wholly and completely, to be praying to check off a box because I knew I should, to be ticking off that I spent 30 minutes in God's Word and I spent 20 to 30 minutes on my knees and I was setting time aside for these things. And oftentimes I would go to God and I would do it, but my prayers never went farther than the ceiling. Because I was doing it because I knew it was the right thing, but I wasn't doing it by the grace of God within me. It was discipline. It was going through the motions of what was right, but inside the heart, it wanted to be somewhere else. It wanted to be doing something else. Now, we talked about fasting a few weeks ago as a denial of the basic self of flesh. And I quoted to you the verse from Galatians 2:20, which says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, what I have discovered in my life is the crucifixion of the flesh has not come to me with nails in my hands, no piercing in my side. It has come right here in my heart and in my mind to have an understanding that I need to be crucified with Christ. And there is no place I discovered that more than in fasting and prayer. Getting on my knees before God to pray. It was an exercise of discipline. But everything about me wanted to go do my own thing.
I wanted to get up and go to work. I wanted to get up and go see somebody else. I wanted to get up and have a phone call. I wanted to get up and watch television. I wanted to get up and do all these other things. And what I found was that as I just tried to be peaceful and at rest before God, everything about me wanted to get up from my knees and out of a place of prayer to go do something else, not that. And I started to notice this as I got older. I took more and more note of it. It's like, why is it, God, every time I get on my knees to come before you, all I want to do is get up? Why is that? I'm here for a reason. But why am I here? I'm here to crucify my flesh. I'm here to say, there is no place I want to be. Better is a day with you than a thousand other days. Better is a moment spent with Almighty God than chasing any pursuit in this world. Because in Him is our life, my life. In Him is my peace and my forgiveness. In Him is reconciliation. And in Him is grace to help me be exactly who He created me to be and to do exactly what He wants me to do. And in believing, I see that everything that's pulling me away is just flesh. It's my flesh wanting to say no to God and yes to what I want. And in the peace of prayer and in communion with Almighty God, He prepares you to get up off your knees and go. To do His will. To do His work. And to do His way. Friends, the crucifixion of the flesh happens before Almighty God when we submit ourselves to Him with a heart of repentance and turning completely to Him. What do you want, Lord? Here I am. What do you want? What is your will? What is your way? See, in this world, we get driven all kinds of things to help us relax. Oh, I just need to unwind. I need to de-stress. So people drink. They smoke. They smoke pot. They go through their lives looking for escapes, entertainments, movies, whatever it is. You just put in, what is the thing in your life? Because I guarantee you this, if what you do daily is go to those things and not to God, you've got to say, I'm worshiping another God here. Because that's where I find my comfort. That's where I find my hope. That's where I find my life. And your flesh is not crucified. It's still strengthened in a false god and an idol. And they'll always take you away from God. They'll take you away from those times with God where you're to be directed and instructed by Him. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm dead to who I used to be. I'm dead to what I want to do. My life is on a different course because I have passionately given myself to God. And as we do that, friends, we change as a people because what God is desiring is the only thing we can give Him. Ourselves. He made us, but He wants us to give ourselves back. And so, will we take the time to pursue? I asked you at the beginning of this message, have you set aside the time for fasting and prayer? Are you doing that? Is it a part of your walk? Not because of the discipline of it, but because you have a faith in God that drives you to it. See, I'm not wanting to put pressure on you here today to go through an exercise of prayer and fasting if your heart's not in it. I don't know that it can be of much effect. But if you go to God and say, God, I don't want to do this, but I want to submit to You. Crucify me here. And for me, in prayer, when I would get down on my knees and I thought it was enough time, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't really what I wanted to do. When the urgency to get up, I would just ask God, crucify that flesh. that wants to take me away from you. Crucify what's in me that drives me apart to do my own thing. Crucify it. And in the process of becoming crucified in Christ, my heart changed to now what I desired with my time and my life was to spend it in devotion to Him. Now it's like there's not enough time to pray. Now it's like, how do I have enough time to talk to you, Father, about the things that we need to talk about? How can I minister to you and to others at this time? Because the devotion that we have to God in prayer, sometimes it does get limited because we have other responsibilities. And God knows what they are. But the heart has changed. It's a love that causes you to want to steal away time. Even if it's heading to the bathroom for 10 minutes, just to shut the door and be alone with the Holy One. To have the moments with Him. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah chapter 58, it says this, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet." Again, it's Isaiah 58:1. "Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice?" In other words, why are we going through the motions, God, of fasting and praying, but we don't see you responding? What does He say? "In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure." You're not afflicting your soul. You're not afflicting your flesh. You're doing what your flesh wants. Look, you exploit all your labors. "Indeed, you fast for strife and debate to say that I've done it." To have your ego puffed up because you fast. You see, if you're fasting to brag about you fasting, you're not fasting for the right reason. That's just your flesh coming up in a different way. You know, the amazing thing about the flesh and vanity is that no matter which way you go, it's always there for you to go down the wrong path. Christ is in the center, but there's a million pathways that leave the center and go down ways of vanity. And what Paul said was, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and God's grace toward me was not in vain." That what we are to be doing and living out in our lives is to be giving ourselves in dedication to Him, and our lives are changed by the process. So he says, "You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high, to proclaim that you do it." And when Jesus said, when you fast, he said, you know what? Do it quietly. Don't make a show of what you're doing. Wash your face, comb your hair. Don't make it a show. Let the fasting be that which is of the heart before God. Between you and Him. And then He will see. "Is it a fast that I have chosen," verse 5, "a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" You see, friends, to humble yourself before God is something that is not a visual. It is something internal of the heart. To humble yourself before God is something that's going inside. It's not just an outward show. There will be outward manifestations of your humility, but it's the dedication to God that's of heart. But now notice this. "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh." The Israelites are saying, "God, why have we fasted and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice?" He said, "You're not fasting. In fact, you're doing just the opposite. You're not helping your neighbor, you're exploiting your neighbor.
You're not doing it out of humility and goodness and goodwill. You're looking to exploit and have strife and debate and argument. And it's not really about seeking God. It's about seeking your own religious vanity and glory. It's not about me at all. It's about you feeling good about you in your religious practice. And that's just vanity. That's just vanity. The reality is, in the fasting, are we fasting in denying the flesh, saying no to flesh and yes to God in our daily walk? Are we fasting to crucify the flesh that we may give our portion to others in life? You see, when we are going through the process of not eating and drinking and spending time in prayer, it is all about preparation for what we do in service to others apart from that time. Sometimes we can think as Christians that the practices of prayer or Bible study or fasting, that they are Christianity. But friends, those are just the training times to build us up for the work of Christianity. Even this meeting now is not for what's here, it's for when we go out. When we start living to understand what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to understand what it is to walk and pursue after God day by day, so that as we go about in the marketplace and as we go about in our daily lives, we are prepared spiritually before God for the ministry that is available. When the disciples had the man who was possessed by a demon brought to them and they could not cast him out, they said, "Why not, Lord?" And he had challenged them on their faith. But he said, "But this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." There is a time of preparation that we should all be in as ministers of Jesus Christ, as servants of our Lord, to be ready for ministry when it comes. And the ministry, as we saw with Cornelius or with Paul and Barnabas, these are things where the Spirit's going to lead. The Spirit might take you on a different direction for the day than you thought you were going to go. Do you want to go? If the Lord wants to direct you, do you want to go? See, that's another place where the flesh springs up, isn't it? If the Lord directs you different today than what you intend, are you willing to crucify yourself and do what the Lord instructs? Do you trust that God will lead you in a good path? Do you trust that He'll give you good counsel and guidance? Do you trust the Lord? It all comes down to that. Everything that drives us as disciples of Jesus Christ is a faith and trust in God that He loves us, He cares about us, He's committed to us, and He always does the right thing. This is who our God is. This is why we will go without food or water. This is why we will dedicate ourselves in time to prayer, because we are entreating the God of justice, of love, and of mercy. And He wants us to be coming before Him. Hold your place here in Isaiah 58. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." The trust, the belief that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus was raised from the dead, that Jesus paid the price for our iniquities and sins. Verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now here's what I know. I know that of my own self, apart from God, there is no power in me to truly help any of you.
There can't be healings of heart or mind. There can't be broken spirits bound up. I know that. But more than I know that when we go boldly to the throne of grace, that we can find mercy and grace to help in our times of need. And the difference in life is not about seeing our flesh, as Scott was talking about with Elijah, in seeing our own nature. It is having a faith in the greatness of God and a faith in His mercy and His love and His divine will, that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that's really what we're seeking. We're seeking for God to take a hand. We're saying, God, the problems of our lives, the people that struggle with the health problems and the spiritual problems and the marital problems and whatever it is that we're struggling with, we're asking God to take a hand. And we're asking God to come and show Himself strong. And so that's why we fast and that's why we pray. We are entreating God to look. But it's not just a matter of checking off the box. It's not just a matter of saying, if I do this, you're the genie in the bottle and you do what I want. It is entreating God because of who God is and in the relationship to understand the will and divine providence of God to be involved, that His grace would be there to help in time of need. You see, when the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought forward and they were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, they said, whether God saves us or not, we're not bowing down to this idol. In that moment, they were completely under the mercy of God. What did God favor? What did God determine would be done to these three who would not bow down? But when they took the prophet Isaiah to saw him in half, he was just as much under the grace of God when by the grace of God he gave his life. And all the disciples who have been given over to torture and to persecutions, all the ones who have been martyred for the cause of Christ, they too have been perfectly in His hand. Friends, sometimes in life, we make it about the moment and not the timing of God. We want our will to be done and not His. And God knows and sees the way things have to go because ultimately He is working out something that will bring success in a day when we see Him face to face. Friends, I have seen through prayer and fasting people healed instantaneously. Multiple times in my life, I have seen immediate response from God to situations. Other times I've seen it in an hour, in a day, in a few days. Sometimes I see His hand giving the very thing that I desired and have asked for over many months of time. But if I started to question God's love or care or responsiveness to my prayer and started to say, why God? You see, that's where the battle really is. Do you believe and trust in who He is despite the circumstances you have? Because if what you're doing is seeing your circumstances and doubting God's care for you or His care for someone else, well, then His work's taking place. Because basically, you got to dig out that root. You got to dig it out. You got to dig it out and not say that my relationship with you, God, is conditioned on me getting what I want. Because isn't that really what we're saying? What we're saying is, if you don't do what I want, I'm mad at you. If you don't do what I want, I don't trust you. I doubt whether you really... Why would you allow this to happen? How could you see... If I was God, I would change it right now. Aren't those the thoughts that go through our heads? And those are the thoughts we need to crucify. Those are the ones that we have to bring into captivity. Those are the ones that we're coming before God to say, let's get the stuff out. Give me grace. Let me come to your throne that I might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Friends, Jesus made some pretty awesome promises about faith. He said, if we believe We ask anything in His name, it shall be done. The belief comes through the relationship that we have that help purge out all these doubts so that we have a confidence in Him, not in the circumstance. We have to have that confidence. We have to have the belief and the faith in God. And when we see the doubts, don't try to bury them back down. Bring them up and out. God already knows they're there. He's trying to bring them out for a reason so that we can confess them and deal with them and be healed of them. So we have to go through and understand where the faith is. And then we need to know that what we are doing in life is coming under the authority of Jesus Christ. You see, the answer for every problem of healing or need, it's in the authority of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is a Spirit that gives liberty and freedom and healing and reconciliation. The kingdom of God is based on these things. That's what makes it a kingdom that He can say, there's going to be no more crying or tears, no more death, no more pain. Because it's based on a different spirit and a different way of living and thinking. And God is wanting to bring that spirit to you. And when we come to others who are in need to pray, we ask in faith, looking to Him, and we are asking for Thy kingdom to come, the power of His kingdom right now. Remember when Jesus was healed? They said, the kingdom of God came unto them. Because when the King is there, He brings with Him the kingdom. He is the Lord and the Savior. And we are inviting Jesus to come into our lives and to help. That's grace. Grace is His divine influence. It is His empowering presence to cause us to be the person He made us to be and to do the things He called us to do. That's grace, friends. His favor toward us is He'll take a hand in our affairs. So when we look here in Isaiah 58, and He's talking about the fast, to loose the bonds of wickedness. How can you do that? Grace. By the grace of God, I can loose the bonds of wickedness. You can go through all the counseling and the encouragement that you want. Sometimes the only way you find deliverance, and a lot of times the only way you find the deep deliverance, you've got to have God's grace. Reasoning, works of the flesh, don't cut it. You can talk till you're blue in the face. It's grace. It's God's grace. He wants to come in and take a hand. So we fast, we pray, we seek Him, knowing He will take a hand. And in His good time, in His good place, you can be assured if it's according to His will in the name of Jesus, it will be resolved. It will be resolved. Not might, it will be. If it's according to His will, in His name, it will be resolved. He said to undo the heavy burdens. Sometimes we have people come up and they want prayer because they're burdened with something. How? Grace. The book of Zechariah says it like this. Remember this. He says, when you come to the wall and to the obstacle, it's not by power nor by might, but by My Spirit, says the Lord, with shouts of grace. With shouts of grace. Sometimes the best prayer you can pray is just lay your hands and just pray grace on the person. Because when God puts His favor upon a person, their whole life changes. It's grace that makes us who we are. It's grace that changes us. It's grace that causes us to see our new life. And then what we do? We labor. That His grace won't be in vain. We begin working. And how do we work? By His grace. Friends, we are in a process of transformation and transition. You are not just meant to sit in life having these thoughts about Christ, having these thoughts about God, having an intellectual consent and assent. It is to be engaged in the process of what do You want me to do, God? And to cling on to that and seek His face, to know His plan and desire for your life. Every person in here has been called to bear fruit.
in various kinds of ministries, seen and unseen, comely and uncomely. We are all to be engaged in ministry, whether in this church or outside the church, in the homes, wherever you go. How are you being engaged? Do you understand that your calling is to be engaged in a ministry, in a service to God, that His grace towards you be not in vain, but that His grace in you becomes the blessing to someone else? So what is fasting? What is grace? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Sometimes we look at that and say, who am I? How can I do it? I have the nature of a man. I need your grace to come boldly to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. You see, God's message is consistent and over throughout the Scriptures. The message is one of how do you care and serve others. You can only do that by His grace and power in your life. There's no other way. Do you want to be on the road with God and walking with Him? It will always be found in His grace. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him, and you hide not yourself from your own flesh. So, we encourage one another, we help one another, and we look for opportunities to serve one another. And as we do, we ask for God's grace. Friends, it can be discouraging sometimes how complex the problems in people's lives are. It can be very complex. And there have been so many times where I've just had to throw up my hands and say, Lord, I just don't know. I don't know how to solve this one. And I realize now as I get older, that's absolutely the best place to be. When I quit trying to solve the problem myself, and I look to God to say, you got to do this one. It's going to take you to do it. We have faith by grace. We have love by His grace. We have life by His grace. We have a true service and ministry to others by His grace. And what we should be seeing is everything in us needs to hunger for His grace. We just should be saying, I'm ravenous with hunger for grace, Almighty God. You did it all. You do it all. Make me a vessel of grace. And that is why we fast, to seek from Him grace. Verse 8, if we do these things, what does He say? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. Here I am. Do you want that? That's the intimacy of relationship that we should seek as Christians, and we should settle for no substitute to that relationship. Friends, we've had a serious talk today. It's been plain, I hope. It's been clear. You were called by God's grace to minister to others with His grace. And anything less than that is apart from grace. So our lives, as a witness, as a light and a dedication, we should continually be seeking for God to take a hand with us. How much do you want His hand? How much do you desire the promise that God makes to those who will fast unto Him, who will humble themselves, who will deny their own flesh, and who will take of the things of their own flesh to give to others? God is looking for us to be committed as a church and as a body. And we will do this by His grace. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, Father, we look to You. Oh God,
In everything, we want to submit our lives to You and to Your perfect and holy ways. And God, it is just awesome to look at You and to realize that by Your Son, our Savior who sits at Your right hand, we can come before Your holy throne and ask You for mercy and for grace to help in time of need. And God, we ask that You would give us of Your Spirit and a spirit of wisdom, that You would cover us as Your people with a wisdom to discern and to understand how to seek Your face and how to come near to You and entreat Your heart and to please You, that we may give You worship that is honorable in Your sight. For God, we want to be near You because we know that as we draw near to You, You said You will draw near to us. And God, we need You to minister to us. We need You to minister in our hearts and our lives to root out all bonds of brokenness and bitterness and sin. That God, You would take out the spirit of judgment and condemnation that comes in our hearts, and that You would put in its place a spirit of holiness and of salvation by which we use our time and our energy and our thinking for how we can bring grace, God, to someone else's life. How we can bring mercy and holiness and love to their lives, that God, they may get a glimpse of You, and that our lights would so shine before men that they would glorify You, God. Father, we need You to open up our hearts and minds because, God, we are so weak in the flesh and there are just so many ways we want to run this world and even back to old pathways that lead to nothing but waste and vanity. For God, we need Your grace and we desire You to pour Your Spirit and Your grace upon us, that Your grace toward us would not be in vain, but that Your grace would fill us with a life and a liberty, and that God, You would bring empowerment to the people that come before You with faith and belief in You. Father, we plead with You, God, plead with You to come and pour out more of Your Spirit right now upon us, that You would pour out upon us Your Spirit of love and mercy, and You would give us a commitment like You have, God, that we would somehow know the commitment You have to us, and that, God, it would be ringing in our hearts and our minds, that we would break off the shackles of this flesh, and that we would just shed this flesh and this life, God, for the glory that is with You, that we would value You, that we would look to You, that we would love You with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, that nothing, God, comes between us, and that everything You are would flow through our lives, that we can be a blessing to our spouse, our children, our friends, our family, our co-workers, in front of every neighbor, foreigner, the stranger, the widow, the fatherless, the poor, the rich in this world. God, we need Your help. And we are so thankful that we can ask for grace and wisdom and mercy, knowing that it is Your will to give it. And we ask for Your Spirit because You promised to give Your Spirit to those who ask. Because there's no Father like You, Holy Father. Abba, Father. We praise You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, the Holy One, who walked this earth in the flesh and is raised to Your right hand and empowered. For You gave Him all authority and might, and Jesus, be head of this church and be head in our lives. Show us the way to go. For You gave it all for us, and we just give You our lives right back. We love You, Holy God, and we confess our great need for You, and we love that You come and fulfill that need and meet us here in this place. We praise You, and may all honor and glory be to You, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.